Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I want to take you today into the fourth part of our series that we've been teaching, and that series is about having hope. And I don't have time to go backwards into the series, but let me today take you just a moment into last week when I talked to you about the necessity of having faith if you're going to walk in hopelessness or walk out of hopelessness. Having hope requires, it absolutely requires having faith. It really does. And I told you last week that this week we would talk about the greatest hindrance to our faith. And so before I get into that though, I want to show you just a commercial that many of you may have seen. And I want to kind of use that as a lead in to this subject. So take a look at this.
Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis?
Oh yeah, he's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it, we'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay.
Yeah. Just okay is not okay. But let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here, if really that was happening to you, there are some really talented people that can make you laugh in 30 seconds and catch something. But here's the deal. None of us would go into surgery that day, right? You'd look and go, no way. Okay, look, just okay is not okay because you're going to cut into my body and that's completely unacceptable. But here's the thing I want to talk to you about today. The greatest hindrance to people's faith that are trying to walk with God is something that people live with their whole life that is more dangerous, more lethal than having gone into that surgery. And that subject that we're going to talk about today is unforgiveness. The inability to forgive people in your life. Now, some of us can think of forgiveness in the terms of maybe some petty differences in a marriage or things that you have to process that, you know, you made me mad. That's one level of forgiveness. And by the way, that's important to forgive there too. But for many people, unforgiveness has become their life. It's become permanent. And for some of us, it was actually the way we were raised. Some of us have experienced the kind of trauma that is unforgivable. That is, the action against you was unforgivable. So when you hear the word forgive somebody, very easily you can begin to add to that. And that means, well, that means I must say that what they did to me was okay. Or it means that I shouldn't have any boundaries with that unhealthy person. It's not saying that at all. The people listening to me today, those listening later, those watching online right now, there are people listening to this that have been horribly, horribly impacted by the offenses of other people. Abandonment, abuse of every kind. And when you say, well, I have to forgive that person, somehow we equate that to mean it has to be okay. I read this statement somewhere. I'd attribute it to the author, but I don't remember who it was. But I love the statement. It said this: the health and strength of every relationship and every purpose of your life inches on your ability to successfully do this one thing. Forgiving people is so critical in our life. And yet most of us just don't know how, because it isn't something we wake up and say, you know what, I'll grow bitter in my life. That's what I'll do. I'll be a bitter person. Nobody wakes up with that intent. So there's three simple things I want to talk to you about today. The first is the impact on your actual faith toward God when you live in what we'll call unforgiveness. I'm then going to talk to you about how it impacts your personal life. And then I'm going to talk to you about the power to do it, the ability to forgive. And my hope is that when we get through today, that you experience the presence of God in a way that for some of you may liberate you from generations of this, if not decades, months, years of your life. You don't have to let your yesterdays define your tomorrows as a Christian. It doesn't have to be that way for you. So here's the first one, the impact on your faith. Mark 11, Jesus gave what we consider the greatest expose on the subject of faith in Mark chapter 11. And I'll just pick up in verse 22, read verse 24 and 25. Jesus said this: have faith in God. Verse 24, he refers to what is called the prayer of faith. So I say to you, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now look at verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone. Say it out loud. Anything against anyone. Jesus said, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Jesus connected your ability to have faith in God being hindered to the inability to forgive people. The reason it's the greatest hindrance to your faith is it's because the one that Jesus identified firstly. But here's the second reason. The second reason it impacts so deeply in your heart is this. It it actually does impact the heart of man. The reason unforgiveness is the greatest hindrance is because it impacts your inward man, your heart, not your feelings alone, not your outer man. See, the Bible tells you walk by faith and not by sight or by what's revealed through your five physical senses. The part of your makeup that God created to be able to trust him becomes impaired when we don't know how to forgive people and walk in forgiveness. Romans 10:10 says this, it's with the heart man believes. That's your inward man. You have an inner man and you have an outer man. Now, the outer man can be injured, and it's obvious when the outer man's injured. But you can get used to having your inward part injured, and you learn to adapt and live within those walls of the prison. Proverbs 4 says that out of your heart or your inward man will flow all the forces of life. So Jesus said that unforgiveness will literally stop your faith from working. How? The second part is how it impacts you on a personal level. Unforgiveness, this is a great statement. You may have heard it said many times, but boy, it bears repetition. Keeping unforgiveness in your life is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick. Unforgiveness is not about what they did to you. It's about they having no longer having power in your tomorrow. It's giving no one authority in your life. And when you understand what Jesus said about this, it's so critical, because unforgiveness is like a heart blockage. Now, if my heart physically were blocked, it would become apparent to everybody in the room. And those wonderful prayer partners in this church would be praying for me, and the medical people, the doctors and surgeons and nurses and nurse practitioners and anyone else that will come and help me will come and help me. There's an AFib or thing, beat your boom heart somewhere in the building. They'll come stick and boom, something bad's happening to him. It's obvious when your heart's blocked. And we go to heroic means to unblock the human heart. But when you're inward man, the heart's blocked. It's so damaging, and yet we learn to live with it. It even blocks God's power in your life. Don't give anybody that power over you, no matter how egregious the offense was. The Bible says in Proverbs that an offended person is like a walled city. And here's why. When you've been hurt by people, you build walls around you. And it's harder, it says, to get through a walled city than to get through to that person. Unforgiveness, you build walls. You think they're walls of protection, but they're actually prison walls that you have to live behind. It's bad enough that somebody harmed you. It's bad enough that somebody did something to you that was, in the natural sense, unforgivable. The behavior, the offense is unforgivable in the sense you can't justify it. You shouldn't justify it. But Jesus has given you a way that no one and nothing has any power to dictate and demand on your future. Forgiveness is not about the offender. It's not even about the offense. It's about you living in freedom. It's really what it's about. Listen to what Jesus said in John 17 in verse 1. And Jesus said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come to you, but woe to him through whom they come. Jesus said, it's impossible to live in this world without offenses coming your way. Impossible. How many of you found out that one's true? They're all true, but that one, it doesn't take much to experience that. You cannot live in this life without offenses coming to you. Now, Jesus said to the person who actually provides the offense, woe to them. But the woe to them is not my part. That's God's part. When you want to get even, when you want recompense, that's why the Bible said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You leave that to God. If not, your life will hinge on what they did or didn't do for the rest of your life. And that's no way to live. The word offense here is the word where we would say the part of the trap where you put the bait. That's what this means in the Greek. And John Bevere wrote a great book called The Bait of Satan. If you're struggling with this issue, it's in our bookstore. I could not recommend a book more highly for every Christian to read, The Bait of Satan. We even have a small group that surrounds it. And I want to help you understand that the offense, it's literally said it's the bait. So when you look at that trap, none of us would willfully step into that trap. Traps, the only way they work is if they're camouflaged. Or there's bait put, that's a trap that you have to step on, but they don't leave that wide open. It's all hidden in on a walking area for an animal, and the animal trips the trap. But nobody goes into a trap on purpose. The bait of Satan to actually make your life captive is the offense that comes to you. So important. All of us have had these things happen to us. You know, years ago, I was speaking to a person and trying to help a person who went to our church. And it was a lady that came here, and she had very serious psychological issues. And to be really honest with you, I was totally unprepared for somebody at that level of difficulty. I did everything I knew to do. But when I realized that this person actually needed some help beyond what I was going to be able to provide, and I said, look, you're gonna have to get some help beyond me. The person responded very, unhappily. And ended up having to come to police, and they took her out in a... they had to put her like in a straitjacket and took her away, and she had a weapon in her purse, and I guess that was maybe for me, and so, you know, I just didn't know what I was getting into, and that's not the offense. But because of this person's psychological issues, they became fixed and fixated on me. And as a result, they began to say horrific things about me and lie about me, horrible things. None of them true. And I'm like, what in the world? And then it got worse. She actually writes a letter to the ordaining body over my life and details an affair that she had with me. Details that would that actually, because I read the letter, I literally came this close to vomiting. Because let me tell you what went through my mind. Number one, there's nothing, there's not a thread of truth in this. But I thought, you know what? If somebody reads this, hey, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's always two sides. There's not always two sides. Usually there are. But man, in this one, and I was so mad. Anger, I don't know how to explain the anger to you. Because let me tell you what I saw going away. I saw my children being impacted. I saw my wife having to go through this, and there was not a shred of truth to it. And then I saw you being impacted. Listen, all you have as a pastor is your word and your reputation. That's all you have. And you lose that commodity. You lose a lot, and it's very difficult to ever get that back. It's bad enough if it's real. But when someone's lying about you, I was so angry. I'd love to tell you that I said, oh, Jesus, help her. I was not saying, oh, Father God. I was going, oh, God, Father, can you just visit her and make her an offer she can't refuse? I'm not proud of this, wishing ill on another person. You know what? And thinking how maybe I could get involved in doing something. No, that would put me in jail. I'm furious. And I'm telling you, it didn't go away, because this continued in some fashion for almost 5 years. Yeah. And I'm finding myself now feeling something toward a person that the Bible tells me I shouldn't be feeling and acting in this way. And I was angry, because this was not fair. I'm going to take you to the back end here in a minute. I'll bring you back to this story, because forgiveness isn't based on how you feel. Forgiveness isn't based on what you think should or shouldn't have been done. Forgiveness is something you do when you understand the depths of the mercy of God that you first have received. I'll get you there in a minute. But let me help you to understand this. There are three kinds of offenses that you should be acquainted with. The first one is this. They're real. That you truly have been unjustly treated. Spouse cheating on you. Physical, sexual abuse. This situation. Just you have been terribly treated. It's totally unjust. That's one type of offense. Here's the second kind. What I would call a perceived offense. Meaning that you've wrongly processed an interaction and in the information. It's not even accurate, but it's your perception of it. And so now this offense comes to you, and you really don't have, if you will, the rest of the story, but you have the pieces enough to where you've drawn some conclusions, and now you're offended. So there's real offense, there's perceived offense, and then there's borrowed offense, which is the first two you really can't stop in a sense. The third one's crazy if you do it. Borrowed offense is when somebody else is offended, and they tell you about it so you can be offended with them. Borrowing someone's offense is like wearing somebody's dirty underwear. Yeah, I know your mind went, oh. You'd be better off wearing the dirty underwear than borrowing the offense. Because by the way, their offense may be real and it may be perceived. You realize perceived offense very often happens when people just don't have all the story. These are the three types of offenses that every one of us deal with. And every one of these are baiting you. Remember this. This is so, so very important. The offense is the bait. And the unforgiveness is the trap. The offense is about the offender. The unforgiveness is about me. The bait of Satan is the offense, whether real, perceived, or borrowed. But the trap that springs and holds me for the rest of my life, and God forbid, you'll bring your children into this. I'll show you why now in a moment. That's the trap. And God wants you free. That's why you'll hear us over and over again. This church exists for you to experience the love of God, to know the love of God, but to know God, to find freedom, to discover purpose, and then to make an impact with your life. That second one, finding freedom, is about getting past these kind of issues in your life. And if you don't have any of these issues to ever contend with, God bless you. I'd love to know how you did it. You may be living in a cave. You live in a cave, eventually you'll offend yourself. That's why we do freedom groups. And last week, again, was our retreat. It's remarkable, 13 weeks. Remember, the two groups of people that you go through freedom, those who have not and those who have. Michelle and I have been through it several times, or even more. Not because she needed it, but kind of she did it. Just so. No, she was leading freedom, you know. But Michelle just said to me the other day, hey, we need to go through freedom again. Why? Because things stick to you. There's some Velcro that gets on you, right? And the wrong stuff can stick to you. Freedom is about letting yesterday remain in your yesterday and let your tomorrow be shaped by the mercy, kindness of God. Remember this, unforgiveness creates bitterness. This is how it impacts your personal life. And it's desperate how it impacts your personal life. Hebrews 12:15 says this. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. Remember, that's God's favor you don't deserve. It's really, in this context, talking about being kind and good to people. Now listen, lest any root of bitterness, say out loud, root of bitterness. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. So keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time, and many will become defiled. I want you to grasp that unforgiveness brings you to a place of bitterness. And bitterness is a seed that is sown when you don't know how to deal with the offense, and you grasp unforgiveness in your heart toward another. And when you're really in unforgiveness over an egregious offense, you feel right to be wrong. But you're living in the prison. Many people are even dead and gone who are still controlling our lives. See, Pastor John, this is touching me in five different ways. Man, I need help. That's why we have small groups. Do you know there's a small group on the bait of Satan? There's a small group called Freedom. Please avail yourself to these opportunities so you can find freedom in your life. But the seed of bitterness grows into a plant. And the Bible said it will spring up. And when it does, it doesn't just defile you. It defiles everything about you. That's the horror of offense. Is one horrible thing or a series of horrible things becomes the way you live your life. And they're not even necessarily involved in your life anymore. It affects the way you think, the way you act, the way your relationships are, your ability to trust people, your ability to have a relationship with your kids. Jesus died so that we could be free as well. And these are real issues that all of us have to contend with. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter was interacting with a man named Simon, and listen what he said to him in Acts 8:23. He said, "Simon, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Bitterness equates to captivity. "I have a right to feel this way." Yes, you do. You have every right to live in your prison the rest of your life. But I would suggest it's not a good decision. So here's the real issue. How do I forgive? This is all fine and good, but you know what? How do you forgive? Really, how do you do this? All of this applies even to the smaller issues in our life. But if you just go from the big rocks down, if you can do the big rocks, you can do the little rocks. How do I deal with something that was so harmful to me that I can look back on it and it no longer causes me pain? You never look back and say, "Hey, it was awesome." Or, "Let me open the door to that unhealthy person." No. Boundaries are boundaries, that's okay. But let's talk about the third thing, the power to forgive. Jesus taught us the power to forgive in this teaching in Matthew 18. Let me read it to you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray together. We're going to spend just about 3 or 4 minutes just worshiping together. And then, just like I know in last night's service, God's presence will fall. And some of you have been carrying a blocked heart for your whole life, because you may have even borrowed offenses from your family they gave you. And you can walk out of this place free because Jesus died to make you free. God wants to do something amazing in this place today, amazing for those watching online. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 18. Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And Peter thought he was being bold. "Up to 7 times? Because this is in one day." And Jesus said to him, "I don't say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7, or 490 times in a day." Another gospel said, Peter said, "Oh God, Jesus, Lord, increase our faith." Let me ask you a simple question off the track, just a question. Would God ask you to do something toward others that he's not willing to do for you? Did you ever feel like, "God, I've just gone too far for you"? It's a lie. If God would ask me to forgive 490 times in one day on offense from one person, how many of you realize that his love exceeds yours? Do you understand every word of Jesus is a revelation of the love of God? This isn't about, in a moment you'll see, this isn't about your love for people. It's about his love for you. That's where the power to forgive comes from. That's why we say over and over again, we exist to help all people realize God loves them unconditionally. Now, Jesus explains the how. Verse 23, Jesus said, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven," this is the way God operates, "is like a certain king," referring to God, "who wanted to settle accounts with his servants," that's us. "And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Say it out loud, 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, so that a payment could be made. The servant fell down before him and said, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Say 100 denarii. 100. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him and said, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that he had done. Then the master, after he had called him, said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if you from your heart do not forgive his brother his trespasses. Jesus is saying, unforgiveness will deliver you to the torturers, and God won't stop it. And if you don't learn how to forgive from your heart, then you will be delivered to a torturous life, and God won't stop it. Now, here's what I want you to understand about this parable and teaching that Jesus gave. Remember, one denarii is equivalent to one day's wage for a laborer. One denarii equals the wage of one day's work for a laborer. 6,000 denarii equal one talent. This man owed the king 10,000 talents. If he worked 7 days a week, it would take him 164,383 years to work off his debt. So when he said, I will pay you, he couldn't pay. The debt that he owed was so overwhelming it could not be paid in a lifetime. And Jesus is saying there's a debt that every one of you owe, a debt that will separate you from heaven, a debt that will cause you to live in what the Bible calls hell, the regions of the damned, forever. It's a debt you'll never be able to pay. You can't live long enough and work hard enough to pay this debt. But I've come and paid that debt for you. I'm about to give my life to pay the debt you can't pay. And I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to give you my righteousness. The God of the universe will robe himself in human flesh through the birth of a virgin so that he can bear the wrath of God that was due me. And he said, now, you that have been forgiven of such a debt are leaving my presence and you're finding somebody who owes you 100 denarii that they actually, in a sense, could work off. He said, why are you comparing the two? Don't you understand the mercy that you've received? Mercy, when you understand the love of God, it changes everything. Let me take you back to the story of this person. I was very angry, and so you know what the Bible tells you to do? Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who persecute you. So I began to do it, not because I felt like it, but because God said to do it in his word. And let me tell you how I felt every time I did it, like a hypocrite. I said, Jesus, I ask you to bless them, bless their family, if you can. I doubt it. There was a spot I would drive by that reminded me of them in Cranberry. I drove by it every day. And every day I'd drive by it, I'd stop and I'd say, Father, and I'd pray over their family, pray over this person. This is still going on, by the way. It was over a year of doing that. And one day I'm praying, something drops in my heart. And you know what it was? Freedom from this person. And now when I pray, it's genuine because I realize the one who loved me loves her. The one who forgave me of an insurmountable debt can forgive her. Why can I hold against her what all of heaven will release her from? And my ability to pray for her was real. And that person, no matter what they would have actually done, lost total power over my soul. That's what you're called to live in as a Christian. As we close today and I pray for you, all of us have next steps to take. Forgive from your heart is what I want to leave you with today. He didn't say, hey, you have to feel it, but from your heart, you can operate by faith. You don't have to feel it. And you begin to act in concert with your heart. Now you say, Pastor, I just need more help. Well, join the club. So I really want to encourage you, get the book, Bait of Satan, if you need help. Get in a freedom group. go into a small group. Please, please go into a small group on the bait of Satan. They launch here early part of next year. These things will change your life. Just okay is not okay. Just okay is not okay. God has more for you. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence in this room. I thank you for your great love. And Father, first I would ask if there'd be any under the sound of my voice that don't know you, that have never given their life to the one who has given his life for us, that they would come to a place today of repentance and turn from their sin in their life and say, Jesus, I receive you to be the Lord of my life, the Savior of my life. And I turn from my ways and I turn to you and I will live for you. And I want you to come and do the great exchange as you take my sin debt and then afford me your righteousness. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never invited Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life and you want to today, I'm not asking you if you've been to church, if you're a good person or had church sacraments, that's just fine. But none of that makes you a Christian. No church can do that for you, including this one. Only you willfully receiving the one who died for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I'll pray for you right where you're seated, and the whole church will pray this prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I promise I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you. Say, Pastor, I'd ask you please to include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just simply raise your hand right where you're seated and I'll pray for you. Do it right now and I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Wonderful. Well, it's such a, what an amazing decision you're making. Most important decision of your life. If you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you or forsake you. After we're finished praying, I'm going to invite you to stand with me and we're going to worship and declare the freedom that Jesus died to provide. And then I know we're going to go into God's presence for just a few moments. And he's going to liberate some of you from lifelong pain, lifelong imprisonment. If you raised your hand or should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears and we'll pray it together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I repent of my life. I repent of my sin behind me. And I look to you as my Savior today. I want to walk with you and live for you and to know you. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for wiping away my sin debt. I am right now a child of God. My sin debt has been canceled. I am now heaven bound. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life. Would you stand together with me? The worship team, just stick around because I'm telling you, God's not. Let's praise him. Thank him for his greatness in your life. Father, you are greater than the offense. You are greater than the offender in our life. You came to make men and women free. As we were worshiping God, I heard this in my heart. And I don't have time to teach it, but there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this one's called a word of knowledge, where God gives you a fragment of his knowledge about a person that's revealed by his Spirit. As we were worshiping, you actually didn't say these words, but you were verbally repeating them in your head. This isn't fair if I forgive them. I can't. You've held on to this belief for so long that somehow you think if you forgive them, I'm doing something good for them. This isn't right. Listen. Jesus said that God our Father lets his rain, that is the natural rain that waters the earth, fall on the just and the unjust. God is good to everybody, whether they deserve it or not. Forgiveness is not about qualifying or even rectifying the offense or justifying the offense. Forgiveness is about you walking with God and not walking with an offense that keeps you in the trap and the steel teeth of unforgiveness for the rest of your life. Don't give the offense. Don't give the offender one more moment of your life. So I've given my life to Jesus. Well, then give him all of it. I want to pray for you today with every head bowed and eye closed. If you're here today and you're trapped in offense, I mean, we all have to forgive. We all have issues that, you know, just like basically simple kind of minor things often. But I'm talking to those of you today that you're trapped. You're trapped. You're in the steel trap and you don't want to live this way anymore. You don't even know that your behavior has been shaped by this bitterness. And you may have even seen people you haven't met in years, friends or family, and this offense may have happened in between, and they may pull you aside and go, "What happened to you? You're not the same person." Yeah, but if you knew what happened to me, it would change anybody. I'm not dismissing that. I'm telling you that Jesus makes it so you don't have to let that person change the outcome of your life. He wants to make you new in every area of your life. He wants to release you from the pain and suffering that comes from the offense of people, whether real, perceived, or borrowed. I want to pray for you today. Some of you, this is decades long. Some of you were raised this way, borrowing offenses in your family. You don't even know any other way to live. Wherever you find yourself in that spectrum, he wants to make you free. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, "Pastor, I see myself in that picture, and I need his help, and I want free, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to forgive by faith today. I'm going to forgive because you said I can, not because I feel like I can." With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you'd say, "Pastor, please include me in that prayer. That's me. I need freedom from this." Because God by his Spirit's going to move in just a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just quickly put your hand up, then you can put it right back down. This is about between you and God. Sure, I mean, this impacts so many of us. You can put your hands back down. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person who raised their hand and for those who perhaps should have and couldn't. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the one who sets men and women free, your presence and your power, that your glory falls in this place and upon people to undo heavy burdens, and your anointing to break chains that have kept us sometimes generationally. And by faith, I proclaim with them that we forgive those that have offended us, for we have freely received and we freely give forgiveness. We pray for those who have despitefully used us and persecute us so that we might be the children of our God who permits the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. But Father, we release them. And in releasing them, we walk out of a prison. We walk out and we peel back the steel trap and we walk into the freedom. And bitterness, the root of bitterness, is an axe has been laid to the root of bitterness. And every part of their life will change. Their body in areas that has been sick through this bitterness, they will experience now your healing power. Father, I thank you. In fact, that just came up in my spirit for the healing power of God. Father, by your grace, sweep this room and move by your power and your Spirit upon people. Father, do it now. I thank you for that. Thank you for your great grace. And we trust you today as we walk in these things by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' wonderful name, Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, man. Isn't it good to worship God and be free? Come on, it's so good to be free.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.